medallions is as easy as picking up moose waste, by gad.
Trace elements of gold could be recoverable in one of Southeast Alaska's most abundant animal products. And Russian tour companies will finally be able to operate in Southeast Alaska, thanks to a loophole in wastewater treatment laws. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more, up next. Princess Cruises and Holland America are announcing more ship cancellations in 2011, citing difficulties complying with wastewater treatment regulations. However, Haines and Skagway Tourism Advice Board say there is no fear because a flood of new bookings is on the horizon. Skagway Tourism Director Buckwheat Donahue.
With Princess and Holland pulling two more ships out, they're not being redeployed here in Southeast. They're going over to the East Coast. They're going to start doing New Jersey ports and North Carolina ports and Rhode Island. And so it's a horrible thing when we lose cruise line passengers because it's our, you know, they're our bread and butter. But I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it.
Donahue says he's not worried because the Russian Navy has revealed plans to launch a submersible tour in the Northern Lynn Canal beginning this season. Reusing their mothballed diesel subfleet, the submarines would undergo a significant cosmetic upgrade, including painting an Alaskan flag over the existing Soviet flag.
That'll be part of the sales plan. They'll be able to say in their marketing and in their pamphlets and stuff like that, you know, hey, we guarantee you X number of surfacings. It's like one of the tour itineraries that I saw shows that there'll be two surfacings in Skagway. So they'll just like pop up out of the water. They're going to put some see-through plexiglass on the top to enhance the visitor's experience. And so they don't even have to get out of the submersible. They can just stay in the submarine, if you will, you know, and when they surface, they can look up at everything and then they go back down, which is good because, you know, in the summertime, the first 5-6 feet of the water is clouded with glacial silt. Right, and so for them to truly be impressed with the physical greatness that surrounds us, they need to make numerous surfacings.
The organization People Outraged Over Progress, or POOP, is raising concerns, however, because Alaska's wastewater treatment laws do not apply to submersible vessels. Donahue says the loophole couldn't be more helpful to the Russians.
And we think this is going to be pretty cool because the wastewater discharge laws don't apply to submersible craft. It's only surface craft. And so it's a great way for this tour operator in conjunction with the Russian Navy. You know, if they're doing it, that would be great. It would be great to foster Russian-Alaskan relationships, you know, business-wise on something solid. And maybe we get some of those guys off their cruise to maybe teach us Russian here.
Archived Presbyterian Church documents reveal that the historic Haines Mission may actually belong to Skagway. In charts dating to the expedition that delivered most of the first missionaries to Haines in 1881 were clues that Captain Salty Refinder had mistakenly deposited the Presbyterians to Haines instead of Skagway. The church document in question is a map of the Northern Lynn Canal. On the chart, the captain, known to his crew as Old Cross Eyes, had erroneously marked out Haines and written the word Skagway in its place. Researchers believe the mistaken edit led him to deliver the church workers to Haines, but that Skagway was the rightful destination. Presbyterian historian Sven Evan Dudleysons.
According to our lawyers in the will of God, Haines is really under the ownership of the Skagway Borough. The way we see it, the missionaries were intended for Skagway, and the only way to correct the mistake is by redistricting now.
In an effort to quell further disputes, the Haines government has proposed several changes, including opening more jewelry stores in Haines, handing over downtown Main Street planning to Skagway officials, and introducing a new 2.5A high school sports conference. Alaskan lawmakers are learning more about a Soviet-era deal that would reestablish the land bridge between the Asian continent and North America. According to Representative Ivana D. Candy from Babies Alaska, Russian conglomerates have gained significant support in using their country's waste to reconnect the two continents with a proposed landfill bridge. The two landmasses were historically joined during the Pleistocene ice ages, prompting a significant human migration.
We're always interested in opportunities to preserve our local history, so we're showing Russia our support. Chinese leaders are applauding it because it's reestablishing a traditional migration route for them. Russians are excited too. Putin told me the other day they'll be excited to access the rest of their country.
Trace elements of 24-karat gold deposits may be recoverable in moose droppings, according to results from chief geologist at Big Hole Mine, currently under development at Haynes Mount Riley. Rocky Feldspar has been secretly collecting moose dung for years, he says, and learned through his work that 4,372 individual moose nuggets equals 1 troy ounce of Earth's purest gold.
Southeast Alaska moose habitat is literally one big gold field. Making millions is as easy as picking up moose waste, by gad!
Moose turd mining, as enthusiasts are calling it, is already catching on in the Northern Lynn Canal. As Feldspar admits, there are others cashing in on the latest bonanza. He says freshness and location have no effect on the quality of gold the material yields. In a side note, an immediate recall on all moose-dropping tourist bric-a-brac and curios was issued by the Federal Drug Administration, leaving bush entrepreneurs scrambling to fill the void before the coming tourist season. Biologists discovered on the Farabee Glacier what they believe could be a new hybrid species. According to zoologist Dr. Yule Getbetter, the strange-looking animal is likely a cross between a glacier bear and a panther.
The glacier bear is a lonely, solitary animal, but it's known to seek out company early in the year, about when basketball season starts. This coincides precisely with the panther's behavioral patterns. And voila, the glacier panther.
Scientists who are scouting the animal's behavior say it's strong, excellent in defense, and driving the lane. Skeptics believe its survival may depend on whether the University of Alaska Anchorage's research facility will accept him. The university has expressed interest in making the rare breed its new mascot, along with changing their colors to blue and green. Helicopter ski crew delivered to safety an unidentified hiker from the Juneau ice field Thursday. The pilot reported spotting the man climbing out of a crevasse and noted him acting confused during the flight to the airport. The man insists he's from a town located under the ice field, formed when area residents fled home fearing a World War II Japanese invasion of Alaska. Skier Ibi Sorad had this account.
Yeah, bro, I was totally shrouding this gnarly line. It was like waist deep power, and there he was, just bam. Tell you the truth though, I was kind of bummed because I thought I had the first descent.
Borough officials are scouring area maps to determine if, in fact, the area where the helicopter landed was inside of the borough's approved heli-ski boundaries. Seven castaways were recovered this morning off an uncharted island in the Lynn Canal. A rescue airplane descended on the stranded but overjoyed crew at 10 this morning.
Hey, I know how we can be saved.
Gilligan, I don't want to hear it.
Okay, Skipper, I want to tell you about the plane up there.
Plane? I wonder where we are.
I can't believe it.
No injuries were reported among the found. To the pilot's surprise, they were quite well-dressed and very curious.
Professor, the guy that landed this plane sure must have been some pilot, huh?
Gilligan, this plane has been falling apart for the last 20 years, just like your brain.
Professor, how did this airplane here... Explain to me, how did they get here?
The rescue was initiated 2 days after beachcombers found an SOS message in a bottle washed up in Portage Cove. According to the rescued skipper, the outfit left Juneau in 1964... on a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. The mate, a mighty sailing man, recounted the accident that twisted their fateful trip, saying, The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. While on the island, there was no phone, no lights, not a single luxury.
Oh, I'm sorry, but we don't have any telephones or any telegraphs out here.
And no carpeting.
One of the survivors, who claims to be a millionaire, says the worst part of being stuck on the island was the absence of motor cars. And he says he's outraged that the rescue took 46 years.
Lovey, I've been framed. I'll appeal. I'll take it to Supreme Court. I'll go even higher. Rules Committee of the Newport Country Club.
Other survivors include the millionaire's wife, known as Lovey, a high school teacher they call the professor, a woman in a strapless evening gown who says she's a movie star, and a farm girl from Winfield, Kansas. And, of course, the minnow's two guides.
This is a deserted island. There's only 7 castaways out here, and I'm the skipper.
I'm Gilligan.
Most of the survivors chose to bypass the clinic and go straight to the Red Onion, which reopened today in Skagway.
Gilligan, are you hungry?
And no.
Oh, am I hungry? I'm starved. What would you like for dinner? Oh, I'd like to have steak smothered in hamburgers and an ice cream sundae topped by an ice cream.
Gilligan, please.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. Thanks for listening.